All right, starting here at the top of Samach Teremar Aleph, two lines in. By Rami Bar Chama, Shtei Alechem, Hinatza Sharya Ochanata Sharya. What is it that the matir that the Shtei Alechem is? At what point of growth is it that the Shtei Alechem come in our matir? With regards to the Omer, we know that the din is Hashrasha. That once the grains have rooted, the Omer is matir that item. We discussed, or we're going to discuss today, what happens if the seeds are on the ground, but they have yet to take. What's the status of those seeds? But in terms of the Omer, we know it's Hashrasha. The Shtei Alechem are being matir other items. They're being matir chodosh for the Mikdash, but they're also being matir peirot and the bikurim. So what stage are we talking about where the Shtei Alechem are matir these items to be brought to the Mikdash? So are we talking about Heinatza? Or are we talking about Chanata? So you know, by the staff of Aaron, the Makel of Aaron, Vayotzei Perech, Vayatzei Tzitz, Vaygmol Shkedim. So in the process here, the Hanatza and the Chanata are stages in the development of the fruit on the tree itself. Chanata being a later stage, where the actual fruit appears, the Hanatza seems like an earlier stage, a budding stage of the fruit. The flowering. Because Rashi claims that it's both prices in the fruit itself. You'll see in a second why I'm not sure if that's the case, even from the Gemara itself. So let's go with the Einatza is the flowering, and the Chanata is the actual appearance of the fruit. So now, my Einatza, my Chanata, Ilema Einatza de Peira, v'Chanata de Peira, if we're talking about the fruit itself. So from here it seems like the Gemara is talking about stages in the fruit itself, not necessarily the flowering. Hashto Hashrasha Sharya, Einatza v'Chanata mibayi. When we're talking about grains and we're talking about items that are dependent on rooting, there we say rooting is enough, then certainly the appearance of the fruit, and whatever stage it is that the fruit appears, then it also should be sufficient. Ella, what is it? Hanatza da'aleh v'chanata da'aleh. These stages that appear in the leaf, whatever this appearance stages in the leaves of the tree, is that enough or not? Mihavi ki ashrasha or lo? Is that like rooting? And therefore, the appearance in the leaves already is considered to be a growth, enough of a growth that is classified as to be a part of this year. Or no, do we need some emergence of the fruit, whether it's the flowering stage or even a later stage, the emergence of the fruit at least to be qualified to have the Shtei Alechem be matir? That we don't know, and the Gemara leaves that as a teku. Now, by Rova Bar Rav Chanon, Chitin Shezaran Bikarka. Omer matiran or inor matiram. So that's what we just discussed before, that the omer's matir, anything that has rooted in the ground. But that's true if it's been planted and it's begun to take. So if it's begun to take and it's rooted, then we say mutar. How long it takes to root is actually machloket in the Amoraim. The Gemara in Pesachim discusses it being 3 days. There are shitot in other places with the garbe shvi'it and prior to the time of Rosh Hashanah that it might be 2 weeks, it might be a month. Whatever the amount of time is that it takes to be mashrish. But that time, we know by the Omer, Hashrasha works. Now what happens here is that he placed them into the ground, but they have yet to take. These are seeds that have yet to have an Omer be matir them. So they're now waiting for the Omer. If you kept the seeds out of the ground, the kernels would have been nitar yaday the Omer. Now that you put them into the ground, you need to get them to the next stage, which is the rooting stage. But they have yet to even take at all. What's their status when they're sitting in the ground? Why? Hey, ida ashush. If they already rooted, tanina, we have a Mishnah. Idalo ashush. If they didn't root, tanina also, we have the Mishnah, the Tanan. Imishrishu kodem laomer, omer matiran. If they take root before the omer, omer is matir them. Ilav, asuri mechivo omer abba. Not, they're asur until the next omer. Lotzricha. Case here is the chazdinu, he harvested them. Vizarinu kodem laomer. He both harvested them and planted them before the omer. Vat Omer v'chali falayu. The Omer now passes over them while they're in the ground. What happens if you go back to the field and you decide to take some of those seeds out of the ground and eat them? It's as if they're placed in a pitcher. It's as if they're placed in some sort of utensil in the ground. V'sharinu Omer. And therefore the Omer is matter them. Or they consider it to be batel the gabi karka, and as if they don't exist anymore. So the Omer is not matir them in this case until the new Hashrasha takes place. And the new Hashrasha happened after the Omer. Yesh lehen ona, So the questions the Gemara can ask now are everything that has to do with whether something is karka or not. There's certain dinim in the Torah that are dependent on whether something is a metaltlin, is a movable object, it's not real property, versus when they are real property. That is one here, obviously the Omer makes a difference. It makes a difference from Boba Metzia and Ona, overcharging, whether karka has Ona or not. And it's also going to make a difference in Nishvayim. When it comes to Shavua, there are other things also, like Kefel. But here the Gemara is bringing a sampling of these items and asking the same question, which is, do they have the issue of being overcharged or not? The 1/6, the shtut, that one is allowed to have in Pechidami. He says to him, listen, plant 6 kuor in this field, and did 5. Well, that's a mekachtot. Anything that comes in a quantitative measure, even less than a shtut goes back, because the mere fact that you quantitatively sold tells you that people are makbid on the quantity. If you go in and you say, I'm going to buy a dozen bagels, then a person expects to get a dozen bagels. You give them 11 bagels, the person's not going to be happy with that, because they said the expectation is 12. Oh, it's less than a sixth. It's a davar shminyan, a davar mishkal, it's quantitatively sold, and therefore it doesn't matter how much you're off. By there, it always is a problem. Ella, damar lei shadei bai kedeboyulo. He said, plant like what it needs. He didn't plant it sufficiently. It's as if they're placed into a utensil, because they're metallic and they're non-real property, and therefore there is an issue of ona. Or maybe they're batel legabe karka. When they're batel legabe karka, there's no ona by karkot. What that means, that there's no ona by karkot, we've discussed in the past. It's machloket harishonim. Tosfot in a number of places says that there isn't ona by karkot, up to 50%. You're allowed to have up to 50% overcharge. That's there's no ona on karkot. The other rishonim is say ain't ona karkot literally means ain't ona karkot, because land, or as we say, location, is worth more to one person than it is to another. That all land purchases are subjective and not objective, and then there's no real objective price for land. Do you take a shvuah when it comes to shvuah to dayanim, other shvuot that are associated with court procedures? Do you take shvuah on them? Do they have a din of metaltalim because they're like they're placed in a utensil? And therefore you will take a shvuah them. Or maybe the bottle of the karka, and they have a din of karka. We know the din is Einish Baimalan, because Einish Baimala karkaot teiku. Gemara leaves that also as a teiku. Another question from Rami Bar Chama. Ba'yu Rabbi Bar Chama, chitin shebegalei bakar. The seeds in the dung that comes out of the cattle and the dung that comes out of other animals. So here it says that the chitim, the wheat seeds that are in the dung of the cattle, Rashi says that's their normal food, that's what they normally eat. Whereas the seorim, you find in other behemot, the barley seeds in other behemot. Ma, what's their din? The mai. Well, let's understand what this is for. If you want to question whether they're going to have tumatoch, lim, and amtanina, we have a straight up Mishnah. Chitim shibirei, or it should really be, shibigalalei bakar, visorim shibigalalei behema, chishavaleim lachila. If one considered eating them, ein mitamei tumatoch. They don't have a din of tumat ochlim because generally people will not eat these items. So they're mufka medin achila, they're mufka medin ochel, even though you've been machshib, even though you've thought to eat them, because batela dato et sokol adam. We don't consider that to be a real machshava. Liktan achila, on the other hand, if you actually pick them out to eat them, betame tumat ochlim, at that point you have a maisa, a maser, even though we'd say batela dato et sokol adam. Once he's acted on it, we see that if we don't say batela dato et sokol adam, we say that he actually made it into something he's going to eat. And therefore, it could have tumat ochlim. Ella, you know, that can't be the question. Ella the menachot. We don't know if they are re'uyin to bring as menachot. Someone says, shita de lo. What's the even the question over here? We have the pasuk that we always quote here from Malachi, which is kakri veyu na the pechatecha yirtzachau yisapanecha. If you bring your junk to Hashem, you think he's going to want it? You think that's going to make Hashem pleased with what you bring? Of course not. You don't bring them. These are things that are not proper to bring before a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So of course you can't bring them. Lo, tzricha, dinaktinu, vizarinu. He collected them, and then he replanted the seeds. Now he wants to bring menachot from the new produce. Those seeds that were planted, he wants to bring it. Mai. Bishum dimi isuto. Is the problem here because these items, why can't you bring them to a Kodesh Baruch Hu? You can't bring them as menachot? Because it's disgusting. It's not appropriate. Became in the Zarinu as dulim isutayu. Once you plant them and they grow into a new plant, that aspect has gone away. Because there are new gidul, there are new growth here. They've left behind what was otherwise considered to be inappropriate or disgusting. And now you have a new produce. Odilma, mishum kichishutahu. Maybe the problem is that these seeds are substandard. Because they went through the digestive system of a bema, they aren't considered to be good seeds for planting. And therefore, whatever is produced here, the outcome is going to be a weakened form of produce. And that is not appropriate to be put on the Mizbeach, because you need mina mufchar. We're going to see that later on the Mishnayot. You want to bring the Omer, you want to bring the Menachot, you bring mina mufchar. So again, we left it as a teiku. We don't know. You see, as we progress through the daf, the stories are going to become, or the questions are going to become more exciting and far-fetched. You know, we moved here, we were at Galei Bakar, the next one is going to get even more so, and it's going to continue on to the next part of the Amud, which is Rami Rechama now says, Pio shebalak pifa mitzrit. You have an elephant that swallowed a basket. It's a reed, a basket of reeds that's made of Mitzrayim. Vikkia derech betarei. And it released it, defecated, and it came out the other end. Maho, what's the din? It says, the mai. Ilei melemavatel tumata. What are you thinking now? That it was a kli. And then a kli that is tamei. If you mevatel it from shame kli, then it loses its tumah. So now, since it went through the digestive system of the elephant, maybe when it comes out the other end, it's not a kli anymore and it'll be tahor. It says, Tanina, we have an explicit mission on that. Kol hakelim yordim lidei tumatam bimachshava. Ve'nolim mitumatam ele bishinoi maaseh. That a kli can become tamei or accept tumah once a person has considered to use it for something that's appropriate. For instance, if one person has a piece of leather, leather can be made into a shoe, or the piece of leather can be used as a shtiach, use it as a throw on the couch. If you're going to use it as a throw on the couch, it doesn't need any more work, it's ready to be used right away. Then, if you're going to use it to make shoes, it still requires a big maaseh to make it into shoes. So there, if you consider it, if you already think you're going to use it for a throw, it can become tamei, because it's reached its end point, it has a gemar maaseh through your makshava, and it will become tamei. Think to have it use it for shoes, then it won't become tamei, because it's not ready to be. On the other hand, once it becomes tamei, and you want to remove it, or once you even made it ready, he says, I'm going to make it a shtiach, I'll make a throw for the couch. And now he wants to change his mind and make it in for shoes. That doesn't work until he cuts it. He can't just have a machshava that he's changing it to make it into shoes. He has to do something physically with the item in order to change it. He has to cut it, show that he's going to make shoes out of it. So when it comes to becoming tamei, it's through machshava. When it comes to removing tumah, you need an action over here. Well, over here, you need to do some sort of action on it or have it change and not be the kli anymore. Over here, there's no shinui maaseh. It went in and it came out. It's still the same kfifa mitzrit when it came out the other end. This is the incredible story. The Bala Hutzin, if you thought the Big Bang wasn't possible, here it is. And he swallowed Hutzin. He swallowed reeds. Ravdinu kfifa mitzrit. And his digestive system, it became a basket. And then it comes out the other end. This is the unbelievable elephant. Swallows reeds and produces baskets. Mi havi iko. So now this kfifitit. Mi havi iko. Havale kekli. Glalalim. O kekli adama. Ve mikablim tuma. The fact that it went through the digestive system, what status does it give it? We know that when it comes to kelim, only certain kelim are mekabel tuma. But kelim that have utility, that are made from certain materials, have tuma. Wood, metal, reeds, all of these things will have tuma to them. There are certain exceptions to that that don't have tuma. Those materials are clay aven, clay galalim, clay adama. All of those are not mekabel tuma. So what is the status of this kfifa mitzrit that was made inside of the animal? Do we say that it's made through its digestive system and therefore is it din like clay galalim or kli adama? Or do we say no, it's hutzin? There were reeds that went in. Those reeds that went in, there's what came out. It's a reed basket. A reed basket is mikabel tuma. Damarmar, klei avanim, uklei galalim, stone utensils. Klei galalim, over here, Rashi says, klei galalei behema, that which is made from dung. That is generally Rashi's interpretation through Shas, as well as Tosafot's explanation. Tosafot points out here that Rashi in Shabbat, in other places Rashi mentions that it's even galal, that it's not dung, but he translates it as being some sort of stone making or formation. But here, it's clear from this context of this Gemara that it's tzbiei bakar, it's the dung that comes out of the animal. And that's really, generally, Rashi translates it that way. There are a couple exceptions, and Tosus always jumps on him when they do have that exceptions. Although here, it's not clear that whether Rashi that's here in Menachot is really Rashi. Because many times you see the Tosafot quoting Perashat Kodesh, and it's clearly not a Rashi over here. So there are some questions. There are probably a lot of questions about whether this is really Rashi that's found here on Menachot, because a lot of times the Shita is not reconciled, it doesn't match up with Rashi other places in Shas. Later on in the Gemara, there's a Ketiv Yad, you'll see later on in Menachot, there's actually a Ketiv Yad Rashi, and then Rashi, which also another indication that maybe this isn't Rashi that we have in our Gemaras. So you have here stone made out of dung or out of dirt. Maybe it's not digested because there's still reeds when they come out. True, it was made into a basket, but it's still reeds. It's a reed basket, so that's not considered to be digested, and therefore you won't have it be a din of kli galalim. So when it says tif shit le mihadamaru lo mishom Reb Shimon bar Yotzadak masa balo or balo ze'evim shnei tinokot. There was a case where two wolves swallowed little babies, Vevar Yardain. Ubamase lifnei chachamim, v'tiru et basar. When the Zevim, their excrement, had the flesh of those babies in it, they were metayer the basar. So you see from that equal, even though it came out as flesh on the other end, nevertheless, they considered the equal, the digestive system, already to change it via shinu mase, and it wasn't mekabel tuma, or it wasn't metamei. It says, shani basar derachich. The flesh is much softer than reeds. So over there, it's clear that the digestive system had an effect on the basar. So I said, v'liv shalot miseifa. So let's try to bring a proof from the other half of that, which is, bitum'u et atzamot. The bones that came out in the excrement, what was their story? The atzamot, they said, are tmeim. So we see that it doesn't have a din of equal. They're much harder. Reeds sit between basar and atzamot. Atzamot are very hard items. There they said clearly the digestive system has no impact on it. Basar is very soft. It did have impact on it. What we have left in between is this reed situation, where they swallowed it, and the digestive system obviously had some impact on it because it made it into a basket. On the other hand, it can't necessarily be like basar because there's still form to it. On the other hand, it's not like atzamot because they're not hard. They're much more flexible and softer than the atzamot, and therefore we're going to be left with, again, a teiko. We don't know what the status of this basket that came out of the elephant was. But that wasn't enough. By Rabbi Zera, chitim sheyardu be'avin mahu. If you have...
This is Rabbi Zera.
Yes, already. Rabbi Marcham is done with his list. Now Rabbi Zera jumps in to take over. Chitim sheyardu be'avin. You have seeds that came out of the clouds, and they're planted. Some lucky guy had seeds drop out of the clouds. It rained seeds, and his field is planted. What's the din? Why can't you use them for menachot? Sound like pretty good seeds to you? For the shtei lechem, the question is, my. Moshvotechem, Amar Machmano. Torah says, Mi Moshvotechem, Lafuke Duchutz Laretz. Dalo, what has Moshvotechem come to teach you about? This is very important. This Moshvotechem, how you interpret Moshvotechem here, has very important implications in terms of whether Chodosh is also Midoraita in Chutz Laretz. Because what does it mean, Mi Moshvotechem? Mi Moshvotechem can mean anywhere you live, like Lo Tavaru Eish Bechol Moshvotechem, Yom HaShabbat. That Moshvotechem means anywhere that you live. So is that what the Moshvotechem here means? And therefore, Chodosh applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Or does Moshvotechem here mean, the other possibility is, Moshvotechem, only once you are done with the Kibush and the Chiluk of Eretz Yisrael, and you've settled in the land. So Moshvotechem means only once you've settled in the land, rather than Kitavo El Aretz, when you enter the land. So which one of those does it mean? So that's what Gemara is asking. Mi Moshvotechem Arachman Elafuke Dechutz Laretz. If you say Moshvotechem is coming to teach you not Chutz Laretz, only Eretz Yisrael, and what does it mean over here? Means Moshvotechem means once you've settled in the land, the law of the Avim Shapir Dami, then anything that comes out of the cloud should be fine. Oh, Dilma, mi Moshvotechem Davka. Maybe it means Moshvotechem Davka, from where you live. Ba'afilu Davim Lo. So over there, on that side, you would say Moshvotechem means anywhere you live. It could be that this side also believes only in Eretz Yisrael, but it sounds like Moshvotechem means anywhere you live. And in that instance, you would exclude clouds. Anywhere you live is good, but you don't live in the clouds, so those seeds would be no good for the Shtei Alechem. So Gemara says, Umi Iko Ki Agavno. Can you believe it? The Gemara asks. Gemara didn't ask this about the elephant. But yeah, Gemara asks, yes, about the clouds. Can such a thing happen? What's going on here? The Gemara says, in. They have evidence to this happening. Kid de Ade, but it's really here. It's the name of an individual, which is Bar Ade Tayo. It's an Arab merchant named Bar Adi. That Nechita Le, Rum Kizba, a Tefachai, Chite, Betalata Parse, over 3 parsels, he had a Tefachai worth of seeds that was dropped on his field. So we have evidence of such a thing happening, that dropping out of the sky, seeds came out of the sky, and now we want to know what to do about it. Tosos asks, a great Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Yotam says, if you look in Chitim Shiardu Babim, Perish Bakuntris, and we didn't see this before, but Rashi asks, how did it happen? That it was that they had these seeds to plant. So Rashi says, Imamatar Kishishatu Avim Bokyanus, when the clouds gathered their moisture over the Atlantic Ocean, Balu Sfina Blaya Chitim, they swallowed a ship full of chitim, full of wheat. Now the clouds had the wheat. They swallowed a ship full of wheat on the ocean, and then they came and deposited it on the land. As far-fetched as that might be, Tosfos has a basic halacha question about that. And that is, Perish Bekodesh Shatu Bokyanus. Right, a tornado would carry something. It would carry something, but it also carried the ship with it, not just the seeds. Shishatu Bokyanus Volus Fina Melea Chitim Akashla Benotam. De'im mechutz la'aretz, v'chi chudru l'shtei alecha b'shvil sh'ayu b'avim, v'kol mokol mashvatichem b'inam v'lecha. Well, where do these seeds come from? The okyanus is chutz la'aretz. So even if they carried them out of the okyanus and dumped them in Eretz Yisrael, they're still sourced out of chutz la'aretz. Just because they went through the clouds, it doesn't metahir them somehow and make them Eretz Yisrael seeds. If the restriction is against chutz la'aretz, then these are chutz la'aretz seeds. Nothing's changed just because they were carried through the clouds and deposited in Eretz Yisrael. What's interesting is even if you say it's a tornado, it's coming at the Rashi's using the Okeanos, which is the Atlantic, to have that deposited in Eretz Yisrael, even for a tornado, that would be pretty significant. Tornadoes move things, but not that type of distance. Alright, Ella nearly Dayade Nesi Ardubavim. So Tosus to solve the problem says it was miraculous. That was it. He doesn't want Rashi to come up with a practical solution, because then he runs into this problem of chutz laretz. He just wants it to be miraculous. If it's created in the sky, and it's all miraculous, then you don't have this problem of chutz laretz. Things that come from the heaven, that's not chutz laretz. May not be Eretz Yisrael either, but it's just not chutz laretz. In this terms of Moshe Beitechem, it would qualify. It's very interesting, Tosfos.
So it's not even from the it's
Yeah, but the restriction of Moshe Beitechem is just not chutz laretz. That's the question. When you say Moshe Beitechem, does it have to literally be Eretz Yisrael, or just not chutz laretz? So it sounds like if you get some miraculous seed from the sky and they're over Eretz Yisrael, that's enough for the Rabbeinu Tam versus having them actually be physically from Chutz La'aretz being deposited in Eretz Yisrael. Your question is a valid question, which is why does that help? If you literally need it out of Eretz Yisrael, then you're going to have a problem. If the requirement is just not from Chutz La'aretz, then you have a solution over here. I'm not sure the solution's any better than the question, but this whole story is very interesting. Our Amar says, by Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Shibolet.
There's no answer.
No answer. By Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Shibolet, Shevi Ashlish Kodom Naomer, Vakra, Bishatla Lachar Omer, Vosilfa Mahu. If you have Shibolet, you have a stalk that grew 1/3 before the Omer. Now, 1/3 is significant with grain. That's the Onat HaMasrot for grains. And as Rashi says, Ria Lachi Nakat Shlish, Dechashi Gmar Pri. It's already considered to be a Gmar Pri. Dimi Kami Ochi Akravi Shachat Lauma. Becomes like feed of animals, not the actual whatever you're growing there. It's not considered to be anything up fully grown, anything worthwhile. So here it reached a third, it was significant before the Omer. Ba'akra, then he takes it out. Vishat la'achar Omer, then he plants it, replants it after the Omer. Ve'osipa, and now it grows over it. Mao, what's the din? Batar ikar azlinan v'sharya. Do we go after the original piece that's there, and therefore sharya Omer, and the Omer was matirit? Othim batar tosefet azlinan, and maybe we go after the additional amount that grew later on. Ve'achiv Omer abba, and until the next Omer comes, you know, no good. So tishlei meha dama rabbi avau amar rabbi yochanan. Let's get the answer from this memra. Yalada shesibcha bezkena. Here we're talking about grafting. Grafting is yalada, something that still is a din and orla to it. That you graft it into something that is zkena, that's already past the point of orla. Uba peirot, and it has peirot on it. Vafilo sifu matayim asur. You have peirot, and then it adds on even 200 to 1, it's asur. So you have a tree that has orla on it. You now graft it onto an older tree, which doesn't have a din of orla. In the new situation, it grew 200 times what it had before. And we know that orla is batel 200 to 1. Is it batel? Here we said asur, because it's not batel, because we go batar ikar. Go after the original amount that's there. The batar ikar never goes away, since it never goes away. And as Rashi says, chad gufo, batar ikar azlina. And therefore, it's always asur, even if it adds 200 to 1 afterwards. And the same thing, Amar Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, batzal, shishatlu bekerem. You have an onion that was planted in a vineyard, v'ne'akar, a kerem, and it was ne'akar. Here, you would think, it's like misplaced. It says, v'ne'akar is the onions were taken out, not the kerem itself, but it was ne'akar, a kerem, afilo sifu matayim. Even if it adds on 200 to 1 after that in the vines, Asur. So that would be Gilei HaKerem. Gilei HaKerem, you have a mixture of an onion and a vine growing. The onions were in there, the grapes grew. Then afterwards they removed the onions, and now the grapes grow 200 times more. So you have 200 to 1 in Kilayim.
In the first case, I'm sorry, when we say that it's Asur, what are we referring to as Asur? Just the original fruit?
The fruits, the whole thing, the whole fruit.
Is it a new fruit then?
Yes. Because it's Chada Gufayi and Bakhtar Ikar Azlina. We go after the Ikar, and it's always Asur. Same thing here, it's Asur. So Gemara says, I Gufa Kami Bailei. That's the actually what we're asking. These memrot, that's what we're asking about. Is it mifshak shidul or banan debat or ikar azlinan? Do we go after the ikar based on the original fruit or item that was there, and that governs no matter what? Oh, loshna the kula, loshna the chumra. It doesn't matter where it's the kula or the chumra, because over there in those two cases of kilayim and of orla, it's the chumra. In our case, it's the kula, because it's the omer. You're going to be nita the omer. You take the ikar that was there at the time of the omer and was roi at the time of the omer, and then you replanted it. Or odilma svukim isvegalei. They had a suffix about it. They don't know which way to go. Oh, the chumra amrinan, the kula lo amrinan. So the chumra by kilayim and by orla, where it's the chumra, it's the oser. There, they're oser. But when it comes to the kula by the omer, we're not going to be mekil because we don't know. It's a svekam isvegalei. So we'll go the chumra in both cases. Go the chumra by kilayim and by the orla and say asur. Go by the chumra by the omer and say asur as well. Or is it a definitive statement? If it's a definitive statement, then true. By kilayim and orla it'll be asur, but by omer it'll be mutar. And that's the question. We know these memorot. Our question is, how definitive were their statements about kilayim and orla, or is it a safek? All right, we'll stop over here.